Mr. Garland is a Paducah native. You're now a poet laureate of Wisconsin, and that's pretty amazing to all of us. And I'd like to know more about how poetry became your profession.
Well, that's a long story. I think it probably is somewhat unlikely that someone who spent the first half of his life in his hometown. As a matter of fact, I also worked at a number of jobs, including I was a rural mail carrier in Paducah after college, and worked on the route on which I was born, which my parents lived, my grandparents lived. And so from there to becoming Poet Laureate of Wisconsin, it's a kind of an unlikely trek. But I became interested in poetry in college. I wrote when I lived in Paducah. I wrote when I was a mailman. Many of the poems in my first book, which is called The Postal Confessions, were written when I was still a rural mail carrier in Paducah. Murray actually has a place in all of this story. I did, while I was working for the Postal Service, started coming up to Murray for night classes. Back in the day when Deb Wilder was first getting a lot of writers at the university there, from the University of Iowa, the Writers' Workshop, and I would sit in on classes, audit classes, and it sort of helped me be in touch a little bit more with the wider world of poetry, even when I was still living in Paducah, so there was a link there. I finally, at some point, decided I needed to make my occupation a little more like my vocation, and I quit the Postal Service and went back to school. It was a financially an unwise thing to do, but I wound up going to the University of Iowa and studying poetry, and came to Wisconsin on a one-year fellowship, actually, to teach and write. And it's 23 years later, I'm still here.
And you are happy, as are they.
Oh, I'm happy until I walk outside today and feel the wind. And so I like it here a lot. I miss a lot about Western Kentucky, mimosas and hickory trees and mockingbirds, and I could go on.
Mm-hmm.
But I did venture up here. This is really where the jobs were. I actually applied for quite a few jobs in Kentucky, but none of them came about. So that's sort of the world of teaching creative writing. Is a world of looking around for sparse jobs and sort of being willing to uproot yourself if you have to. However, I find even now, 23 years after I left Kentucky, my poems are still rooted there. Mm-hmm. I thought my second book, which is called Hunger Wide as Heaven, would be more about the place I live now, but the poems from childhood and the poems from Western Kentucky, the Ohio River, and those things keep resurfacing.
Would you share a poem that lets us hear West Kentucky?
Well, okay, I'll read a poem that's actually about sort of losing my accent, or part of it, although if I talk to you long enough, it'll probably start coming back. But it's called An Oral History of the English Language, and it's about how that as the years go by, you sort of lose parts of the way you spoke in another region of the country, and yet they're still there. They come back and have very mixed emotions about that. An Oral History of the English Language. Sometimes I wake up with my hillbilly voice. I don't know why. Maybe a dream took me back, the catalpas wilting in the heat, the dust devils walking the dry field. Maybe the river was trying to shine through the silt and accumulated years. But when my head cleared and sleep ended, there was only the twang of home left over, like stubble in a Milo field. Sometimes I wake with the voice of my mother, every syllable stretched like sorghum or cold honey, the vowels washing over the consonants without mercy. Every word elongated, drenched in deliberation. The name of my sister, for instance, Pam, becomes Pam, takes two syllables, one to release the word, the other to call her back again. Or sometimes I wake with my schooled tongue, the tongue that moved away, all the I's and Y's precisely spoken, buttoned in their uniforms, the cap brims set at the proper angles of ambition, a voice clipped and regulated, rising and falling like the boots of a mercenary, drawn deeper and deeper into the provinces, hunting the stragglers of childhood down.
Oh my, I love the vowels washing over the consonants.
I think probably one of the big differences is that the syllable I, the vowel I, is pronounced I here. When I grew up, and for most of my life, it was more like ah. And when I get tired or when I come home, the I goes back to ah. And so I suppose my mouth probably feels more at home.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because here I think that the I goes to ah.
Yes.
You have, we joke about how friends of the station who contribute help us buy wars.
Yes, yes. Well, my grandfather was born in Murray. My great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather, and I probably have more relatives.
What was your grandpa's name?
His name was K.M. Kelsey Marvin Garland. And I probably have more relatives in and around Murray than any place on earth. Unfortunately, I don't know most of them, but that's basically where the Garland clan originated.
So your mom and dad's names are?
Bob and Melva Garland.
So do I understand correctly that, when did this new book come out?
Well, it's not really new. I'm putting together a third book, but the last book came out about 6 years ago called Hunger Wide as Heaven. And the front of the book actually is a photograph taken by an old friend of mine, Bob Evans, who lived in Paducah. And it's of an Ohio River baptism at the foot of Broadway on the Ohio River at Paducah.
So when you read in Murray, will you be sharing some new poems?
I will. I'll share some poems from here, but I'll also read some that I haven't read in a long time about Western Kentucky, especially about my childhood growing up there in the 50s and 60s. And
would you share another?
I think I wrote possibly in Murray.
Share another with us.
Okay. I think I'll read one that's... This is called Early Work. It's about going with my father on his milk route when I was young. This would have been outside of Paducah. And it's, I think, probably the first time I ever went on an actual job, and it's about trying to understand what work is. It's called Early Work. My father's milk truck bounces the county roads, as much a part of the jangle of future as dawn. His shirt is white as God to me. I get to ride along sometimes. The smell of the cooler is the rubbery cold where nothing spoils, where rows of bottles ride like music before the choir wakes up, or the pigeons tear loose from silos and steeples. The cords of muscle in his arms, the pulsing star of cigarette, the jump on the waking world we get as we navigate the deep blue stutter of washboard roads, help lift the day onto the calendar. First light arrives, slow as a wage I don't yet know the meaning of, though I feel the glow of usefulness as I lug the empties back to the truck, where the sun has started to brighten the fenders and latches, the chrome of the hubcaps like coins for the road where dark is spent, and wealth is milk at every door.
Wealth is milk at every door. That's for sure, isn't it?
Yes, I think, of course, that was back in the day when the milk truck came to houses as well.
But now the hunger in our communities is so great. You know, it's just something we're all becoming more aware of with lots of projects going on in Murray. It's been wonderful speaking with you, and we look forward to your reading in Murray.
Well, yes, I look forward to coming there. I haven't been back to Murray in 25 years, and it's a place that's very strong in my memory.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.